السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين. أجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره وشيعته. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين ورحمة الله وبركاته. We were discussing some of the main features of the community of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, and I talked last night about truthfulness, and I believe that this is a very important quality of a mu'min and also a Muslim community. Inshallah, I hope by the discussion that we have tonight, it will become crystal clear that truthfulness is very fundamental. It's not like some, for example, other qualities that are necessary, but even without them, you can still say, I am a mu'min, but not a good mu'min. No, without truthfulness, it's very difficult to be counted as mu'min. We had some hadith last night. Inshallah, I will start with some hadith, then I expand the discussion based on the Quran, and you will see that how much the Quran emphasizes on truth. And then inshallah I start talking about the implications that it should have on our life and on our community. A person that you might have heard, his name Abdullah ibn Abi Ya'fur, who was a companion of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Once sent salam to Imam. The narrator of hadith says, قلت لأبي عبد الله عليه السلام عبد الله بن أبي يعفور يقرأك السلام. I told him, he sent you salam. قال, Imam said, عليك وعليه السلام. This is a way to reply when someone brings someone else's salam and greeting. So you say, عليك وعليه السلام. So salam be with you and the same person. Then Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said this. And Abdullah ibn Abi Ya'fur is not a normal person or uneducated person. He is a very, you know, well-versed person. But Imam says this. إِذَا أَتَيْتَ عَبْدَ اللَّهِ, when you go and see him, فَأَغْرِعْهُ السَّلَامِ, say my salam to him, وَقُلْ لَهُ, and tell him, إِنَّ جَعْفَرَ بْنَ مُحَمَّدْ يَقُولُ لَكَ. Imam Sadiq sends you this message. أُنْظُرْ, I hope everyone is listening carefully. أُنْظُرْ مَا بَلَغَ بِهِ عَلِيٌّ عِنْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ فَالْزَمْهُ. Look carefully, study, think, find out what was the thing that made Ali able to reach that position that he had with Rasulullah. Why Ali was so special for Rasulullah? I'm sure we all want to get close to that. We cannot be like that, but at least close to that. Was it Ali's ibadah? Was it his bravery? What was that quality? His generosity? What was that quality that made Ali so special for Rasulullah? فَالْزَمْهُ, then you should also try to have it. So perhaps Imam is indicating that if you want to be very close to me, you should also do the same. فَإِنَّ عَلِيًّا, إنما بلغ ما بلغ به عند رسول الله بصدق الحديث وأداء الأمانة. Ali reached the position that he reached with Rasulullah because of his truthfulness and trustworthiness. So these are not something marginal. These are not something that you can, you know, play with it. These are things that are very important, very fundamental. If Ali has become Ali, it's because of his commitment to the Haqq, to the truth. And if we are Shia of Ali, we must be the same. No one in this world should be more truthful and more trustworthy than us, if we are Shia. Otherwise, they are Shia, not we. بصدق الحديث وأداء الأمان. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam also said, كونوا دعاة الناس بالخير بغير ألسنتكم. Invite people, do tabligh without your tongue. To use the tongue is the easiest thing, and we have to use it. But it's not enough. Just you speak nicely, it's not enough. لَيَرَوْا مِنْكُمُ الْإِجْتِهَادَ وَالصِّدْقَ وَالْوَرَعَ. People should not just listen to nice words. They should see in you these qualities. They should see in you اجتهاد. Means you really struggle to do good. اجتهاد literally means a struggle to make your best. وَالصِّدْق. People should see in you honesty, truthfulness. وَالْوَرَعْ. Piety. If you have these qualities and you say few words, it will work. If you don't have these qualities and say millions of words, it will not work. So this shows that truthfulness is very important. Now, I want to start a Quranic discussion here about Haqq. And inshallah, I mentioned some of the major points. But this needs one Muharram, whole Muharram, to talk about the concept of Haqq in the Quran. Even maybe one Muharram is not enough. It's such a broad concept and such a far-reaching concept in the Quran. Everything starts and ends with Haqq in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises a group of people, a community, who were following Musa alayhi salam because they were truthful, they were observing Haqq. Allah praises them. This is the fairness of the Quran. Although before this, Allah was criticizing some of them, but when there is a good point, Allah also acknowledges. In Surah A'raf, verse 159, Allah says, وَمِنْ قَوْمِ مُوسَىٰ أُمَّةٌ يَهْدُونَ بِالْحَقِّ وَبِهِ يَعْدِلُونَ. Among the nation of Musa alayhi salam, there is a group, there is an ummah, there is a community, that they guide truthfully. They guide people according to the requirements of truth. They observe truth. They guide people towards the truth. وَبِهِ يَعْدِلُونَ. And they judge and rule also according to the truth. So a community is singled out, is praised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when that community is making everything based on the truth. If we decide to do something in the community, or we decide not to do something in the community, it makes no difference whether you make decision to do or not to do. It must all be based on Haqq, on truth. Nothing personal should get involved. Nothing selfish should get involved. Everything for the sake of Haqq, for the sake of truth. Then few verses later, Surah A'raf 181. This is 159, 181 in Surah A'raf, the same surah. Allah makes it more general. It says, وَمِمَّنْ خَلَقْنَا أمة يهدون بالحق وبه يعدلون. Among the people that we have created, among our creature, among our creation, there is a group, there is a community that they guide truthfully and they judge and rule truthfully. This is the quality that we should achieve. If someone wants to describe our community, should say, this is a community that runs according to truth, according to haq. Every decision is based on haq. Every meeting is based on serving truth. Then in our hadith, it is mentioned that this actually refers to the Muslim community as well. Because in the previous one says, وَمِنْ قَوْمِ مُوسَى. And ulama have discussed, who are those people in the nation of Musa who had that quality? Allama Tabatabai has a beautiful discussion. He says, either it refers to good people who were guiding in the sense of teaching, or it refers to the prophets of Bani Israel, if we use the concept of hidayah in the way that Quran uses the concept of hidayah normally, which needs isma. I don't have time to go into that discussion. But in verse 181, Allah makes it not limited to the ummah of Musa. He says, وَمِمَّنْ خَلَقْنَا. It's more general. Then in our hadith, it is said that this refers to imams and to the Shia. For example, Abdullah ibn Sanan, he says, I ask Imam Sadiq alayhi salam about this verse, وَمِمَّنْ خَلَقْنَا أُمَّةٌ يَهْدُونَ بِالْحَقِّ وَبِهِ يَعْدِلُونَ. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, هُمُ الْأَئِمَّةِ. These are imams. So imams are the leaders of the community that guides and judges truthfully. There is another hadith in Tafsir Ayyashi. Again, the same ayah was asked, and Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, "Nahnu hum." We are those people who guide and rule according to the truth. Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam also commented on this ayah, and he said, "Ana wa shi'ati." Me and my followers are those who guide and rule and judge according to truth. So if we want to be the Shia of Imams, so we have to have this quality. Everything is based on truth. In Durrul Mansur, which is by Suyuti, the Sunni tafsir, they ask Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam about this ayah. And the hadith says that Rasulullah replied, "Inna min ummati qawman ala al-haq." Among my nation, there is a group of people who are on the truth, on the right path, committed to the truth. Hatta yanzala Isa ibn Maryam mata nazala, till Isa alayhi salam comes in akhir zaman. So it means that this community, maybe little, who are 100% committed to the truth, they will be part of the Muslim Ummah and they will continue till Akhir al-Zaman. So this is a kind of also Bishara, that till that time always there will be a good group of people, Imam Zaman and people who are his true followers, people who are behind him. You know, Imam Zaman always has helpers and people who are close to him. This 313 is the number that should be completed before Imam declares his mission. Otherwise, Imam always has some less number of people who help him, and also people who are not close to Imam physically, but they are close in spirit to Imam. They are all over, you know, spread. But what we need is to establish a community which is organized, which is structured based on this quality, so that we can say to Imam, we are at your service. You can count on us. This is something that we have to achieve. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says that He is Haqq. Allah says He is Haqq. In several places in the Quran, He says He is Haqq. Look at this beautiful points in the Quran. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. فَذَلِكُمُ اللَّهُ رَبُّكُمُ الْحَقِّ. If, inshallah, the result of this lecture tonight is that we all become conscious of Haqq and committed to Haqq, I have achieved what I want to achieve in all my Muharram. So please don't think this is Israf that I am speaking about Haqq. You know, this is very important. فَذَلِكُمُ اللَّهُ رَبُّكُمُ الْحَقِّ. He is your Lord who is true, who is truth. You can translate it in those two ways, because Haqq in Arabic can mean truth or true. Allah is the true, or Allah is the truth. Because the difference between Allah and us is that we are true, we are real, but we are not truth. Our reality depends on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the source of the truth. You are Haqq. This, I don't know, mark is Haqq. It means that this is real. This, I don't know, camera is Haqq. This member is Haqq. In the sense that these are real. But we cannot say these are al-Haqq, because their reality doesn't come from themselves. They depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah is the reality which is the source for any other reality. So He is Al-Haqq. You cannot use this for other people or other things in this sense. So Allah says He is your Lord and He is Al-Haqq. فَمَاذَا بَعْدَ الْحَقِّ إِلَّا الضَّلَالِ. What is there after truth except misguidance? Apart from Allah, other than Allah, you don't have anything other than falsehood. Very simple. You know, sometimes there are simple things, but we don't understand. It takes us 30, 40, 50 years till we understand. Allah is Haqq. Anything which is separate from Allah is batil. So anyone who wants to go towards Allah must be committed to Haqq, must be committed to truth. It's impossible to move towards Allah by not being truthful. Anyone who denies the truth is going away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter how much he is praying or fasting. To go towards Allah is only by being truthful. فَمَاذَا بَعْدَ الْحَقِّ إِلَّا الظَّلَالِ فَأَنَّا تُصْرَفُونَ. Where are you going? Why are you not coming towards Haqq? In Surah Hajj and in Surah Luqman, we have the same ayah. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَقِّ وَأَنَّمَا يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ الْبَاطِلِ. Allah is Haqq, He is true. Those that they call other than Allah, they worship other than Allah, they are batil, they are false. Very simple. Haqq and batil. We should not do anything for batil. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْكَبِيرُ. For sure then the one who is Haqq, He is high and He is great. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, not only He is Haqq, any haq that you can understand or imagine comes from him. In Surah Baqarah, verse 147, Surah Al Imran, verse 160, Allah says, Al haqqu min rabbik. Haq is from your Lord. Because he's the source of haq. So any haq you find, any haq you come across, is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's like light. Allah is the light of the skies and the earth. So any light coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any haq is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who is telling you this haq? It's not important. If a friend tells you the haq or an enemy tells you the haq, you have to accept it. You know, it's very difficult. We always, you know, like to accept things from our friends. But if someone is my enemy, I don't want to accept what he says. Or if someone is, you know, in my level, I don't want to accept. If someone is a great alim, I accept. But if someone is, you know, my classmate or my student, it's very difficult for me to accept the haq from him. It's very difficult for me to acknowledge that I made mistake. When two brothers and sisters have problems, two colleagues, two neighbors, husband and wife, or, you know, daughter-in-law and mother-in-law, son and mother-in-law, you know, it's very difficult to acknowledge haq. Because we think that by this I am bringing myself down. Why I should bring myself down? Not knowing that opposing haq is bringing you down. Accepting haq, no matter where this haq is found, who is saying this, is taking you higher and higher, is elevating you. Because haq is coming from Allah. Al-haqqu min rabbik. How many of us have this quality? If you have this quality, you know, please keep it and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many of you have this quality that when someone tells you the truth, you accept it without difficulty, no matter who is that person? Someone who has not been good with you, he says something, you think, yes, he's right, thank you very much, I made mistake, you are right. How many of us have this quality? And this quality is very fundamental for mu'min. Because mu'min is claiming that I am committed to truth. I am committed to haq. I am a servant of haq. Amirul Mu'minin alayhi salam said, don't look at who is saying. Look at what is being said. It is very difficult for us. Sometimes, you know, I use this example. I say, you know, if someone says, you know, there is a black, you know, spot, you know, something, you know, dirty on your forehead. Do you accept if he's your friend and don't accept if he's your enemy? No. When someone says, you know, there is something, you know, dirty here, you accept. Or if a child tells you this or a marja tells you, it doesn't make difference, you accept. You don't make it conditional that it must come from a high authority. No, anyone who tells you this, you accept. This is not more important than haq. Why? You know, about this you accept from everyone. But if there is a battle in your aqidah or in your behavior or your akhlaq, you don't accept. Is that bad akhlaq less important than this little dirt on your face? If I am an aggressive person, I am an arrogant person, I don't know, selfish person, and someone tells me, why I cannot accept? Because there is ego. This ego unconsciously says, you are haq. Everything must be according to your desire. People should adjust themselves according to your desire. Don't listen to them. They have to listen to you. So, I am putting myself in the position of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why Allah says, أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَاهُ. But mu'min says, no. I am receiving my honor by being at the service of truth. And I don't have time to explain that. In my understanding, this is the meaning of ubudiyyah, to be at the service of truth. Therefore, sometimes you find people who have no history of Islam, no history of ibadah, but they have this quality of truthfulness. They are very close to Islam. And when they become Muslim, they are among the best. Look at Abu Zar. Abu Zar was a mushrik. He was not a believer in God in a monotheistic way. He was a mushrik. But Abu Zar had a quality which was very important. Of course, he had many good qualities, but the one which is very important and mentioned in our hadith is he was very truthful, very honest. He never told lies in his life. Even Rasulullah said, a sky has not provided shadow on anyone who is more honest in his speech than Abu Zar. He was never telling lies. Even it is said, the night that Rasulullah was leaving Mecca for Medina, and you know, pagans were around the house of Rasulullah, and they were, you know, ready to find Rasulullah and kill Rasulullah. So Abu Zar was taking Rasulullah under cover outside Mecca. So he had put something on Rasulullah, some dress or something. So few of mushrikeen saw Abu Zar. Said, what are you carrying? He said, I'm carrying Rasulullah. He didn't tell lies. He said, I'm carrying Rasulullah. They said, oh, he's joking. If he was carrying Rasulullah, he was not saying. So he was such an honest person. I'm not saying this level of, you know, telling the truth is always necessary. Because sometimes you, as I said yesterday, maybe you have to use different words, you know, some maneuver not to tell the truth, but not to tell lies. That is another issue. But he was such an honest person. He was not aware of all these, you know, techniques and, you know, loopholes that we are using. He was always saying truth. When Abu Zar became a Muslim, how many years it took him to become a close companion of Rasulullah? From the first day he was special. Because from the first day he entered Islam through the gate of truthfulness. And this is a quality of muttaqin, siddiqin. So it didn't take him that long. Salman is another example. Did Salman need to pray and fast and go for Hajj for 20, 30, 40 years till he becomes a special? He joined Rasulullah in Medina. The maximum he was with Rasulullah was 10 years. But even he didn't need 10 years to become a special. From the beginning he was a special. Why? Because he was a person who served his life for finding the truth. First, he left his very rich family background. He looked for Christianity. After Christianity, he heard about Prophet of Akhir al-Zaman. He moved to Medina because he knew that he is going to be there. This man has served his life at the service of truth. Then it just needs a little surgery to connect him to Quran, to connect him to Rasulullah. That's enough. Because he's already committed to Haqq. Just you need to show him that today this man represents Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This man is the Hujjah of Allah. That's enough. But many people spend their life under the banner of Islam, but they never become like Abu Zar or Salman. Because they enter into Islam through rituals, through actions, not through sidq, not through haqq. This is the problem. So you see, this man is, I don't know, 40, 50, 60 years old, still tells lies. His salat is on time, his hajj is okay, his ziyarah is okay, but he tells lies.
So he has missed the point. What have you been doing all these years? He cheats or she cheats. This is not mu'min. The whole point of praying, fasting, going for Hajj, going for ziyarat, doing charity, doing voluntary work is all to learn that we should serve Haq. We should serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is Haq. And then gradually we ourselves become sign of truth for other people, so that people by listening to me, by looking at me, can understand Haq. This is what we have to achieve. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Prophet Dawood, Ya Dawood, Inna ja'alnaka khalifatan fil ard. We made you khalifa, vicegerent. Allah's, like Allah's deputy, caliph on the earth. What does Khalifatullah do on the earth? Fahkum bayna an-nas bil-haq. Judge among the people according to haq, or rule according to the haq. Hukm can mean judgment or rule. So Khalifatullah is the one who judges according to haq. So if you always judge according to haq, you are very close to Khalifatullah. If you judge according to batil, you are against Khalifatullah. Allah is haq and his khalifa rules and judges according to haq. So if you want to be close to them, you have to do the same. It's very difficult. You know, sometimes people come to you and ask for advice. You know how difficult it is to give advice and how great is this responsibility. A mu'min or non-mu'min comes to you and asks for consultation, for advice. You have to observe haq. I give you one example. You know, this example always in my mind worries me. You know, it is said that there was a very pious person who was a kind of assistant for one of Maraje in Iraq. Very nice, very reliable. So a person wanted to marry a girl and wanted to inquire about this girl. Went to this man who is better than him. He's such a nice person. He's trusted by the Marja. So he went to this person and said, we want to marry this girl. What is your idea? He had the idea that he wanted this girl for his own son. So he was now in a difficult situation. He said, this girl is very good, you know, and I want it for my own, you know, son, then that person would be more interested. So, he didn't say the truth. He just tried to be clever, as we call it, which is not to be clever. So, he said something to change the mind of that person. Okay, they didn't propose marriage to that girl. That person died. Then some people had this dream. He said, I am suffering in Barzakh. Because when I was asked about that girl, my intention was to make her marry my son. So I didn't give true statement. Then when I proposed to my son didn't accept. So that girl didn't marry. And now I am being punished because of not being truthful in my judgment. Very simple. You never think that, you know, saying something or not saying something can change the life of another person. There are many stories like this. There is a story that Ayatollah Tehrani, Sayyid Muhammad Hussein Tehrani in his book Ma'ad Shanasi. I don't know if you have heard this book. Of course, it's Farsi. But it's a very good book. It's 10 volumes on knowing the hereafter. He quotes a very beautiful story from one of ulama that he had a kind of encounter with someone in Barzakh who was suffering. And it's a very beautiful story how he went to Barzakh. I don't want to go to details. He saw this person has a palace. A palace. Because, you know, Barzakh is a place that you can be enjoying yourself in temporary heaven, or you can suffer in temporary hell. Al-qabru imma rawdatun min riyad al-jannah aw hufratun min hufarin niran. So before the day of judgment comes, still we have temporary hell and heaven. For the people who are very good, their heaven starts in Barzakh. People who are very bad, their hell starts in Barzakh. Those who are in between, they would be sleeping. So this person had palace, he had trees, you know, garden, everything. But every, I don't know, few hours, a snake was coming and biting him, and he had very great pain and suffering. Then was okay. So this alim, whose name, everything, details, all are mentioned there, ask him, why you have this? You are in such a good position. What is this? He said, once I was passing by a shop and there was a dispute between the shopkeeper and the customer. They were disputing over some financial issue. I wanted to solve the problem. So I said, for example, he said, you have to give me 100 pounds. He said, no, I don't owe you 100 pounds. I said, okay, you give him 50 pounds and finish this. But that was not haq. Because that person really had to pay 100 pounds. But because when I said this, you know, he had no choice. You know, he felt embarrassed. You know, he was not happy in his heart. I am being punished because of that false judgment. Who gave you authority to judge like this? Imagine, even for such a small judgment, you can be suffering. Someone says, you know, I want, for example, give job to this person. You have to be very careful what to say, how to say. This can affect the life of that person. Someone comes for advice to you. Or when, we, for example, we want to elect people. When we want to, for example, decide about religious issues. So many things that we every day, you know, decide, but we are not careful. That every decision, every word, every statement has to be presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we should have hujjah in front of Allah to say. So, Allah said to Dawood alayhi salam, فَحْكُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ بِالْحَقِّ. Rule or judge among the people according to haq. You are my khalifa and this is what I want from you. It means that the main task of khalifatullah is to rule and judge according to haq. وَلَا تَتَّبِعِ الْهَوَى. Don't follow your whims, your, you know, lower desires, your lust. Why? فَيُضِلَّكَ عَنْ سَبِيلَ اللَّهِ. Because then they don't let you to understand haq. They misguide you. If you want to satisfy your lower desires, if you want to satisfy your own whims and shahwa and hawa, then you cannot understand the truth. Or even if you understand, you cannot act according to the truth. Those people who stood against Imam Hussein alayhi salam, what was the problem? Either they didn't understand the truth, or if they understood, they found that this is not serving their selfish interests. If they serve Yazid or Ubaydullah, it's better for them. They can have money, they can have, you know, position, they can have, you know, big houses. This ittiba'ul hawa, following your lust and whims doesn't let you either to understand the truth, or if you understand, you cannot act according to truth. It depends on the intensity. Sometimes it's so intense that you cannot even understand the truth. It blinds you. حُبُّ الشَّيْءِ يُعْمِي وَيُصِمْ. When you really love something or someone, you become blind. You cannot understand anything wrong. You know, sometimes you see teenagers, they fall in love. They say, oh, this person is the only person who has been created for me. I am going to be happy with this person and not happy with anyone else. You know, you say, this person doesn't match you. You know, there is this problem, that problem. No, this is the best person. You say about experience of other people. He says, yes, I know people have had made mistakes, but I'm not making mistakes. You know, I am 100% sure. Then they marry. After a few weeks, problems start. After a few months, separation. Why? Because he was blinded or she was blinded. When you really love someone, and this love, it doesn't originate from aql, it originates from hawa, then you become blinded. So Allah said to Dawood, لا تتبع الهوى فيضلك عن سبيل الله. It will misguide you. So you see, this commitment to the truth not only is our aqidah, it is also our akhlaq. Our spirituality is also this. Either you are at the service of truth or you are at the service of your ego. This is the summary of all spiritual life of people. People either they serve the truth or they serve their own ego, which is batil. And shaitan is very clever. Shaitan is our enemy, but always ask us to serve your ego. And because we love our ego, we listen to shaitan. Shaitan doesn't, you know, clearly come says, you know, serve me. If shaitan goes to any person and says, serves me, say, why I should serve you? I don't serve even Allah, why I should serve you? But shaitan says, no, you don't need to serve me. Serve yourself. Look after yourself. Enjoy your life. You are young. Do what you want. This is shaitan. Many people are following shaitan, but they think they are serving themselves. This is what we have to be careful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in Surah Mu'minun, verse 71, وَلَوْ اتَّبَعَ الْحَقُّ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ لَفَسَدَتِ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَنْ فِيهِنْ. If haq was supposed to follow the desire of people, the wishes of people, the whims and lusts of people, the whole universe would go into chaos, would be corrupted. Because this universe is based on haq. Allah has, in Surah Anfal says, He has created this universe according to haq. Haq must not follow your desire. Your desire must follow haq. لَوِ اتَّبَعَ الْحَقُّ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ لَفَسَدَتِ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَنْ فِيهِنَّ. So you see how fundamental it is if we are not following truth. So we are bringing corruption to whole universe. We are resisting the law of this world if we are not following haq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says some beautiful points about the fact that in the end of the day, only haq is victorious. Batil comes, catches your eye, but then disappear. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the example of haq and batil is like when flood is coming. You see, there are lots of bubbles and water. You cannot see anything other than these bubbles. But after a while, all these bubbles go away. أَمَّا الزَّبَدُ فَيَذْهَبُ جُفَاءً. They all will go away.
وَأَمَّا مَا يَنْفَعُ النَّاسُ فَيَمْكُثُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. But what is beneficial, it will remain. You know, look at the people who have done something beneficial. They are always remembered with respect. But the people who have wasted their time and wasted the time of people, they are on the headlines for some time. Everyone praises them, but after some time, you know, they are forgotten. Look at Sheikh Abbas Qummi. He wrote Mafatihul Janan, which was Yanfa'un Nas, was beneficial for people. Sheikh Abbas has passed away many decades ago, but his book is used perhaps by all Shia. Perhaps you don't find any Shia house without Mafatihul Janan, because it was Yanfa'un Nas. And there are people who write books that no one benefits, so it's forgotten. Anything which is beneficial remains. This is the beauty of Haq. Haq may sometimes be marginalized, maybe undershadowed by propaganda, but after some time, it becomes again obvious. مَا يَنْفَعُ النَّاسِ فَيَمْكُثُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, جَاءَ الْحَقْ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلْ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا. This is Surah Isra, verse 81. Allah says, Haq has come, truth has come, batil has gone, okay, but is it exception? This was the only case? No. Innal batila kana zahuqa. This is the nature of batil that cannot survive. Look at, you know, for example, communism. There was a time that they ruled half of the world, but it was batil. They didn't let people to pray, to have mosque, church, synagogue, nothing. But where are communists now? Where is Fir'aun now? Where is Namrud now? Where is Yazid now? إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ الزَّهُوقًا. The same will happen to the people who represent Batil today. They will also go away. But Haq will remain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in Surah Saba, verse 49, قُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقِّ وَمَا يُبْدِئُ الْبَاطِلُ وَمَا يُعِيدُ. It's very beautiful. Allah says, Haq has come, truth has come, and falsehood is not able to initiate something or to bring back anything. مَا يُبْدِئُ الْبَاطِلُ وَمَا يُعِيدُ is useless. Just be a little bit patient, you see, battle goes away. Truth remains. If you want to be successful, be at the service of Haq. Sooner or later you become successful. We cannot, you know, succeed by cheating. When you know that the son of Rasulullah Ibrahim passed away, at the same time there was eclipse. People said, oh, because of the demise of the son of Rasulullah, there is eclipse. Perhaps people thought this is a good opportunity for tabliq. But Rasulullah said, no, this has nothing to do with the death of my son. Because Rasulullah, better than anyone else, knows that by being dishonest, you cannot serve the truth. By cheating, you cannot serve the truth. By being selfish, you cannot run a mosque, you cannot do tabligh, you cannot have hose, you cannot become alim if you want to cheat, if you want to serve yourself. We have to be at the service of truth, and this will elevate you and will elevate the community. Okay, I should stop, but this discussion is never stopping, and this is a, you know, lifelong struggle to try to be always at the service of truth, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us and our community, inshallah, a community which is 100% dedicated to Haq, inshallah. Tonight we remember the two sons of Lady Zainab Salamullah Alayha, who gave their life for serving the truth. As you know, Lady Zainab was married to Abdullah, the son of Ja'far Tayyar. So the father of these two sons was also from Bani Hashim and was a great personality, but for some reason, perhaps for illness or for having some mission, he was not himself able to join Imam alayhi salam, but his wife and children were there at the service of Imam Hussein alayhi salam.
As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah wa ala al-arwa'i allati allat bifnaik عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بغيت وبغي الليل والنار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. Lady Zainab prepared her sons to go for battle, but they needed to ask Imam for permission, and Imam was reluctant to give them permission. The only one that Imam gave him permission without any hesitation was his own son, Ali Akbar. But according to some books, the lady asked them to mention the name of Lady Fatima, and because of lady, asked their uncle to accept. So after receiving permission from Imam, first Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, and Lady Zainab went for battle. He was introducing himself, his aim, by saying, Ashku ila Allah min al-udwani قتل قوم في الورى عمياني. I complain to Allah subhanahu about what these enemies are doing, who are blinded by their whims and lusts. قد تركوا معالم القرآن ومحكم التنزيل والتبيان. They have abandoned the teachings of Quran. They have ignored the revelation of Allah. وَأَذْهَرُوا الْكُفْرَ مَعَ الطُّغْيَانِ. Instead of following the truth, following Quran, they have expressed their disbelief and kufr, and they have gone out of limits. He was fighting with enemies and managed to kill some soldiers of Yazid, and finally himself was killed by Amr ibn Nahshal al-Tamimi.
After him, his brother On went to battle, introduced himself, and Tunkeruni fa'ana ibn Ja'fari, Shahid al-Sidqan fil Jinan al-Azari. If you don't know me, I introduce myself so that on the day of judgment you could not say I didn't know that I am killing the grandchild of Rasulullah. I am the son of Ja'far al-Tayyar. He was my grandfather. Who was Ja'far al-Tayyar? Shahid al-Sidqan. He was the martyr of truth. He is in heaven. Yatiru fiha bijanahin akhdari. Kafa bihada sharafan fil mahshari. My grandfather Ja'far flies in heaven with the wing that Allah has given him, and this is sufficient as an honor on the day of judgment. It is said that he managed to kill 20 soldiers of Yazid and was finally killed by Abdullah ibn Ghutna. Imam Hussein alayhi salam went towards the bodies of these two nephews of Hussein. But Lady Zainab, unlike other martyrs, she remained in tent. She didn't go out to see her children because she didn't want Imam Hussein to look at her face and feel embarrassed. دو گل آورده بود از بوستانی با صفا که تقدیم امیر خود کند در کربلا. زینب زینب had brought these two flowers to Karbala to offer to Hussein when he is alone. دو شیر از بیشه شیران اولاد ابو طالب به ایشان یاد داد رسم جنگ مرتضی زینب. These two lions were from the progeny of Abu Talib, who were taught by Zainab how to fight like Ali. کنار شاه دشت کربلا برد آن دو محرورا. به زیر لب کلامی گفت با شرم و حیا زینب. The lady took these two beautiful sons who looked like moon to the king of Karbala and with shyness said something to Hussein. She said, برادر گرچه عبدالله ز بیماری نشد همراه، اگر رخصت ندارد بهر تو گردد فدا زینب. If my husband was not able to join you, and if I don't have permission to take part in battle, I have brought these two sons to serve you. برای جان سپاری پیش پایت ای گل نرگس، بیاورد همه دار و ندار خیش را. زینب، whatever I have I brought for you. Please Hussein, accept this from me. حسینش گفت داغ اکبرم بس باشد ای خوار، مسوزان بیش از این قلب مرا ای با وفا زینب. Imam Hussein said, oh sister, it is enough for me to mourn for my son Ali Akbar. Please don't burn my heart more by seeing the martyrdom of your children. But Imam finally accepted. سکوتی کرد و راضی شد به پرپر گشتن گلها. قسم چون داد آن دور از وطن را بر خدا زینب. But when Lady Zainab asked Imam for the sake of Allah, for the sake of Lady Fatima to accept, then Imam kept silent and gave her permission in this way. پس از چندی همه دیدند زیر تیغ نامردان، صدایی میرسد از کودکان، مادر بیا زینب. After a while they heard that a cry is coming from these two sons, calling their mother to come towards them. بیا مادر نما شیر تهورت را حلال ما، که رازی گشت انجانبازی ما مصطفی زینب. Oh mother, please come and forgive us. Please come and see that Rasulullah is happy with our fight for Hussein. حسین فاطمه آورد با خود نعش طفلان را، ولی بیرون نیامد از میان خیمه ها زینب. But it was only Hussein who went towards them and brought their bodies. Lady Zainab remained in tents and didn't go to see her children. Ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimin. وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون. يا حسين يا حسين.